Hey, it's Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to Bob and DeBerry, the self-proclaimed voice of freedom, right here on the USA's late great USA BBS radio. Hey, everybody, it's Bob, right here, Bob and DeBerry, on the late, great USA. The reason I say the late, great USA is because, gee whiz, every time you pick up the paper, there's more bad news. And I try to keep it a little light and easy and try to bring some current events into play that you probably already know about. But I would like to discuss it with you. Our worldwide call-in number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And that's a toll-free call from any place on this planet. If you're on another planet, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to call in from there, but I can't guarantee it's toll-free. Anyway, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Got more government bailout. Don't you love it? More terrible customer service, which I am going to tell you all about. And, I mean, I'm looking at the newspaper, and I always try to find things that, you know, a lot of people email me things. And by the way, you can go to my website, which is Bob N. DeBerry. That's Bob N. DeBerry, DeBarry.com. There's a little picture of me on my motorcycle, and it tells a little bit about what I think about everything. And it's even got a place in there you can leave some comments. And it's even, I just put in there a new link to a blog post. So you can go in there and post some comments, if you like, on the blog. I'm not too familiar with this blogging thing, but I'm going to try to learn it. Anyway, be sure to go in there and look at that. And if you like, leave a message. But as I was going to say, a lot of people email me things everywhere from jokes to things that are serious. And, of course, all you have to do is pick up the paper, and you can see how serious things are. And what a mess this country is in. I mean, what a mess. But before I get too far involved in that, let me tell you that I have a few people that want their names mentioned here. One of them is TimeshareAlways.com. That's TimeshareAlways.com. They have a few properties that they have listed, specials this week, that I will tell you about a little bit later. The other one is Florida Reservation Service. If you want a discounted trip to Florida, be sure to contact Florida Reservation Service, and their phone number is, well, their website is FloridaFun2009.com. That's FloridaFun, all spelled out, 2009.com. All spelled out. Their phone number is on the website, and if you want to come down here and stay in a one-bedroom condo and get some passes to one of the theme parks for two adults, I think they can give you all that too. So be sure to remember those two places. And last but not least, if you have credit card debt, which I'm sure a lot of us do nowadays, and you have high interest payments, which I know you do, then you might want to call Astoria Financial Solutions. They are also on the web at Astoria Financial Solutions, and their phone number is on the website. And what they do is they help you reduce these high interest rates because, believe it or not, it can be done. And, yes, you could go do it yourself, but that would be like going up in front of a judge. You can go up in front of a judge if you ever have to go to traffic court or something without an attorney, but you know what they say, anybody that does that has a fool for a client. So, you know, they know what to say to the right people, and they are professionals at getting your interest rates reduced. And I know firsthand that they can save you money because they were able to save me a considerable amount of money. And it's amazing how much money you can save just by reducing your interest rate for 5%. But they get it down under the double digits. So if you're up there in the double digits and you want to be down to the single digits, you will save a lot of money, and they can maybe help you get it done. Anyway, where do we start? I picked up the paper this morning, and the front page of it says, which I have right here, it says we just passed an $838 billion stimulus. Every time I turn around, somebody's getting all these billions of dollars stimulus. But I know I'm not getting any. And in fact, I'm going to tell you just how bad it is out here for the little guy. And I consider myself a little guy. But before I get into doing that, let me give you a comparison here on my super duper information cycle or information folder here of exactly what a billion is. The way the government throws around the words billion dollars, it's like it's nothing. But remember this. A billion is an example. A billion seconds ago, it was 1959. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age. A billion days ago, no one walked on Earth on 2 feet. However, for the government to spend $1 billion, it's only 8 hours and 20 minutes. You know, that. Think about that. That is a lot. And yet, they do billions of dollars all the time. Let me tell you, $250 to rebuild New Orleans. That's an interesting number. What does it mean? Okay. Well, if you are one of the 484,674 residents of New Orleans, that's every man, woman, and child, you would each get $516,528. Or if you have one of the 188,251 homes in New Orleans, your home would get $1,329,787. Or if you are a family of four, your family gets $2,066,012. So where did the $250 billion go to fix New Orleans? I guess all the calculators are broken. But then you consider we have building permit tax, CDL license tax, cigarette tax, corporate income tax, dog license tax, federal income tax, federal unemployment tax, fishing license tax, food license tax, fuel permit tax, gasoline tax, hunting license tax, inheritance tax, inventory tax, IRS interest charges tax on top of tax, IRS penalty tax on top of tax of tax, liquor tax, luxury tax, marriage license tax, Medicare tax, property tax, real estate tax, service charge taxes, Social Security tax, road use tax, sales tax, recreation vehicle tax, school tax, state income tax, unemployment tax, telephone federal excise tax, telephone federal universal service fee tax, telephone federal state and local surcharge tax. Telephone minimum usage surcharge tax. That's a great one. Minimum usage. Telephone reoccurring and non-reoccurring charges tax. Telephone state and local tax. Telephone usage charge tax. Of course, right above that was telephone minimum usage charge tax. That's almost double taxes, but hey, this is just a list I've got of taxes that was easily found. We have vehicle license registration tax and vehicle sales tax, vehicle town and state sales tax, gas guzzler tax in some states, watercraft registration tax, well permit tax, workers' compensation tax. And that's the list of taxes, and it's not even complete. And you know what? Not one of those taxes existed 100 years ago, and our nation was the most prosperous in the world. We had absolutely no national debt. We had the largest middle class in the world, and mom stayed home to raise the kids. What happened? Politicians. And press one for English. That's what happened. So, when you think of $1 billion, when you read your paper and you see that they just passed another government stimulus package of $838 billion, think about what a billion minutes, what a billion seconds, what a billion days, what a billion hours, and all that adds up to. And then realize that our government spends $1 billion in less than 9 hours a day. So that means every 24-hour period, we're spending almost $3 billion. Anyway, people, I don't know. I really don't know. I know one thing. I'm going to tell you some personal experiences here in a little bit. And as I tell you all the time, if somebody emails me something, I let you know it's something I heard. But if it's something I know from personal experience, I will tell you it's from personal experience. Okay? I'm going to tell you something from personal experience. Personal experiences, my own personal experiences that happened to me just this week was the following. An associate of mine opened up a new business, and the new business required accepting credit cards. The credit card companies, they ask so much information when they are the ones handling your money, and you get very little information on them, and yet they're handling your money. And maybe somebody out there can call and explain all that to me, even though I understand where they're coming from, and I understand how they have high risk and exposure. However, if we have the government handing out all this money to stimulate the economy, then we need these businesses, about what I'm about getting ready to tell you about, to reevaluate their position. Or we need somebody with the voice that can let the powers that be know what is really going on. Because you know what? The people who make the laws, they don't have a clue what's going on. They do not have a clue what's going on. If you wrote a letter, sent an email, it gets to some, I don't know what you call them, clerk who looks at it, passes it on to another clerk, to another clerk, to another clerk, all of which, by the way, you're paying for. It never does get to somebody that can make a decision. And if it ever does somehow get to somebody that can make a decision, they probably look at it and say, oh, that's an isolated incident, and it's not worth discussing, so we'll throw it away. Only because that isolated incident was persistent enough to get up to front and center to be heard, whatever you want to call it. I really, really, really would like President Obama to call me up on the phone and have me come and sit down with him and tell him what the little people are experiencing, or what, not even the little people, let's call them the real people. Because now there is a legal class which passing all this bailout money and doing all these kind of things for all their big corporate buddies to keep them solid, when any logical person would have to realize that if you really wanted to stimulate the economy, you really wanted the banks to get solid, you really wanted to stop foreclosure, you really wanted to help the auto manufacturers get to be stable again, you would give the money to us, to me, to you. Think about it. I mean, how much sense does it make to try to, when you plant a tree and you want that tree to grow, do you go out and water the top of it or do you water the roots? You water the roots because you know the water is going to get sucked up and make the tree grow. Where in the world does the government think they can pour water or pour money on the top of the problem and it's going to make something grow? It's not. It's burying us. You know, I get so frustrated because I'm a very logical person. A logical person means that I got a J-type personality, and I don't even know what a J-type personality was until about 10 years ago. And that's a logical person. Anyway, to me, it's very, very logical to give, don't give me no $600 stimulus check. That's a joke. Don't give $300 to somebody. That's a joke. You know, that's an insult. You turn around and you give billions of dollars to bail, to make the bank solid so they will loan money to us, and they turn around and take that money and go buy more businesses with it. Where in the world does that logic come from? Does that mean you only have to have the brain and the intelligence of an ant to be a politician? Or does that just mean you're a thief and a liar and a crook? Because you can't have any sense to do that. You give big companies, banks, money that you think they're going to loan it to the little guy. What, are you crazy? That's ridiculous. Since when has the big businesses ever helped the little guy? Since customer service went flying out the window and replaced with fees. And if I'm going too fast for anybody, I'll slow down and let you catch up here in a few minutes. Because I know I have a tendency to start ranting and raving. I understand that. So let me tell you, a friend of mine goes out and he opens up his business. And his credit card company by the name of First Data, don't mind telling you who they are because this is a true story. Anyway, they get all the information and they open him up a credit card account. And they say, because they want to know, and it's understandable that they want to know, how much are you going to process each month? And I think his volume was $40,000. What's your average ticket going to be? Because they want to know before they approve an account, they want to know what they're approving, and I understand that. And his was $650 to $950, and they open up the account. Well, the first day he ran the account, I think he only did like one sale for $800. Next day he might have done two for $800, $1,600. Third day, I don't know, maybe $900 or two, I don't know. But the fourth day, he got very, very lucky and he ran seven sales for $800, almost $900 a piece, $6,300. Now, understand that he hadn't gone over his $40,000 monthly volume. He hadn't gone over his dollar amount in the single ticket that he was allowed to process. But do you know what First Data did? They grabbed the money and held it because they wanted to reevaluate the risk. Now, I would want to evaluate a risk before I committed to doing something. And especially in this day and age, I would want to evaluate the risk ahead of time. Unless I was just greedy and wanted to get everybody's money under any kind of pretense I could come up with, which, in my opinion, is exactly what happened. So come Monday, when my friend did not get the money put into the checking account, made a call to First Data. First Data said they needed to do some quality assurance, which is kind of understandable. You know, they see a high dollar hit real fast, and even though it hadn't even reached the limit. And nobody's called, by the way. Nobody's called, complained. No customers have been complaining. Nobody's upset about anything, but they just, you know, they've got all these red flag thingy-majiggers out there now that, I mean, everything's a red flag. I mean, you just do something that's out of the norm, and they call this a free country. You do something that's out of the norm of what you always do, and right away it raises a red flag. You say something that you normally shouldn't, don't say, or that the word is banned on a list of somebody's list, and that's, you know, that raises a red flag. Everything raises red flags nowadays. But anyway, so the question was presented, would you please provide us with the names, the phone numbers, the addresses, the expiration date, and the CVC code of these five credit card numbers that they give to this friend of mine? Of which there was no problem. That was a way for them to make sure that he, she had not gotten out and just found somebody's credit card. Found somebody's credit card and just, you know, started charging on their credit card and getting money. Because I do believe, you know, I do believe that does happen. And I also believe that there's quite a bit of identity theft because we hear about it all the time, especially with this guy that runs around on TV blaring his Social Security number out. And yet, when you go to apply for something, they want your Social Security, your driver's license, your passport number, your address, your date of birth, your Social, I mean, everything. And yet, you're told not to give it out. You can't survive in this country if you don't give it out. And who do we give it out to? Most of the time, is to people overseas. But I'm getting off track again, which Bob does. And if anybody does listen to this show, you'll know that Bob has a tendency to get off track. Got to keep him focused. That's why you need to call in here at 888-815-9756. Anyway, so they supply him the information to these five credit card companies. Then First Data asks them for a reference letter from their bank on bank stationery, faxed directly to them from the bank. It's not like they could go down to the bank and have the bank write them a letter and then them take it to a fax machine and fax it. No, they want it faxed right from the bank. So now we're burdening a third party here, which is the bank. We're asking them to go over and above what is normal banking procedure. But they did it. They wanted to know how long the account had been open, and this particular account had been open over a year. They wanted to know how the bank rated it, and there was three categories, good, fair, and poor. It was rated good. Wanted to know if there had been any return checks. There had not been any in over the year. So they sent that to First Data. Well, you'd think that would be enough. But then First Data wanted some more information. And they wanted verification that the people had been sent what they purchased. So the company provided First Data with UPS tracking information. Well, it started appearing like every time First Data asked for something, and every time the company provided it, then at First Data came up with something else they wanted. Because it appeared, and it turned out to be, that they were just looking for a reason to hold this company's money. So then it got to be the tracking numbers wasn't good enough. They needed to have talked to the people to make sure they'd actually got it. Because we could have possibly, and I say we, the company that I'm referring to, could have possibly sent them an empty box. Now, think about that. Aren't we really digging in the bottom of the barrel now? I mean, now we're getting to the point of accusing a newly formed open business that they're basically being acting in a fraudulent capacity. Here they've already approved them. They've already supposed to check them out. They've already gotten all the information about them. Found out they own the house, found out everything about them. But now they've gone so far as almost accusing them of being a thief because they said, well, we need to make sure the people got what they ordered, and even though you have a tracking number, we need to call the people and make sure they got. Well, guess what? They did. And guess what? The people did. They had what they ordered. Well, then it got to be the point, well, I tell you what. We'll go ahead and keep doing business with you, but we need to hold 35% of your money in reserve. 35% for what? There hadn't been any complaints. There hadn't been any. The people had got what they ordered. They had called the bank had said it was a good company. The people had been checked out before they got the account opened in the first place. So what was the justification to hold 35%? Nothing. Except First Data wanted the money. They wanted the money. They didn't want the risk. Well, now, isn't that kind of contrary to what the government is saying they're doing here with all this bailout money? I mean, isn't the government giving all these banks and financial institutions money so they'll have it, so they'll be protected, so they won't lose money by taking a risk? And how many businesses do you know that opens today, tomorrow, yesterday, or next week that basically aren't going to be a risk? If our forefathers didn't give money to new ventures back 20, 30, 40 years ago, we wouldn't be where we're at now. because every brand new business was a risk. And back then, they didn't have the government standing behind them saying that if you need money, we'll give it to you. No siree. They had to make it on their own. So, I am totally confused, people. Totally confused. If the government is giving out money to big business, banks, financial institutions, then why are the financial institutions and all stealing from the little guy and crippling the little guy and not allowing this country to turn around and grow and get strong? That's what I want to know. That's what I want you to think about, because we are going to take a short break.
That was probably worth the attention span it takes to digest what you're about to hear.
But if you insist on proceeding,
woo-wee! Well, that wasn't a very short break there, was it? But it is. It was a short break. Now, I wanted to tell you about a couple timeshares we have here. Got a couple timeshares just came out of the market here at timesharealways.com. Very good people down there, timesharealways.com. They advertise timeshares for rent and for sale. So be sure to go to timesharealways.com. They've got two brand new timeshares that came out this week. If you like to travel and stay in first class accommodations, I think timeshares is the way to go. And here's one for you. In the WorldMark Trend West, this is an $1,800 per week, and they have 2 weeks' worth of rentals. This is a floating week, which means you can use this at any time. But I would venture to say that if you wanted to use it during a holiday time, you should probably call pretty good time in advance, because obviously holiday times are going to book up. They also have one in Sunterra, and that's two weeks' worth of rental. And that is another one that is being offered through timesharesalways.com. So be sure to go check those out. Those is WorldMark Trend West. That's a 2 weeks' worth of rental, floating weeks. And they have some at Sunterra. And that's 2 weeks' worth of rental. Get in touch with the people at timesharesalways.com. And if you would like to find out more information about it, just give them a call, and they will be more than happy to discuss it with you and hook you up with the person who has the offer. All right. We're back. So that was it for customers for the bailout. Excuse me again. I get to talk and my throat gets dry. I don't have anything here to drink, which next week or next time I'm on, maybe I should bring something to drink. Quit coughing in everybody's ear. I apologize. Anyway, I thought you all find that interesting. I hope you all listened to what I said. I just showed you where the government is lying to you, and I know that's coming as a big surprise, doesn't it? But what do we do about it? I don't know. It seems like we just sit around here and take it. Or we could call in to Bob at 888-815-9756 and voice your opinion. I'm sure he would love to hear it. I just know he would. Well, I knew it. I just knew y'all wanted to call in, so feel free to do it. It's 888-815-9756. So now that we got through that, let's do some other things here. What can we do? Now that we've got all that out of the way. By the way, I got something else to tell you about here in a minute, so don't go away. Do you know that Thomas Jefferson We probably don't remember him, but we probably know of him. He said back in 1802, and you know what? This is kind of scary if you think about it. It almost makes your skin crawl a little bit because our forefathers, the people who set up the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and all that, wow, what foresight did they have? I mean, you know, our Constitution is getting trampled on and changed and you know, freedoms are getting thrown out the door left and right by any other kind of BS people come up with. It's just crazy. And it amazes me about how our forefathers, hundreds of years ago, said that this could happen. And they tried every way, shape, or form to protect us from it happening. But I don't think it worked. That's my opinion. What's yours? Anyway, here we go. Thomas Jefferson, 1802. He said, when we get piled upon one another in large cities as in Europe, we shall become as corrupt as Europe. Well, that was Thomas Jefferson in 1802, and I guess Europe was pretty corrupt back then. You think the United States is corrupt today? Well, we'll have to think long to vote yes on that. I mean, to vote on that, will we? Democracy will cease to exist when you take away from those who are willing to work and give to those who would not be willing to work. If you can relate to any of these things, don't forget to call in. I've given you the number. No excuse. You got it. Thomas Jefferson also said, it is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debts as it goes. A principle which, if acted on, would save one half the wars of the world. Now remember, he said this in 1802. Here's one that's very profound. Thomas Jefferson in 1802 said, I predict future happiness for Americans if they can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them. Is that not what our government is doing right now today? Is it not wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them? Isn't it giving away tax dollars of ours to people that don't need it under the pretense it's going to help us? Just change the words around, people. That's all you got to do. And doggone it, come on. Call in. Let's do something. Let's band together. Make our voices heard. I'm just one guy here. My reading of history convinces me that most bad governments result in too much government. That wasn't me who said that. I'm Bob Waldorf. That was Thomas Jefferson who said that in 1802. My reading of history, now he's reading this in 1802, remember, convinces me that most bad governments result from too much government. Wow, is that not true? We got a government that's so big that the only way that it puts people to work is creates more government jobs, so it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And who do you think loses out on that one? Wow. No free man shall be debarred the use of firearms. By the way, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Bullets for guns. Bullets for guns are at a premium nowadays, people. I don't own a gun, by the way, but I've been hearing a lot of stuff going on, and it worries me because people are stockpiling bullets. I know people who have closets full of bullets. They have a fear of our government. That is not good. That is not good at all. And I also understand that there is some rumor going around in Washington that there may be a high tax imposed on the purchase of bullets in an attempt to prohibit people from buying them. So keep your ear to the speakers on your computer and listen to me every other Wednesday, and I will keep you informed on what I know, which will probably take about 10 seconds. That'll tell you everything I know. The strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Wow. I should have read that one after I gave you the speech about the bullets. Anyway, just remember what I said about the bullets. Remember I said about the legislation I'm trying to be passed. It's gonna, there's some rumbling about maybe getting passed about taxing bullets so high that it would be almost prohibitive to buy them. And then my next thing that Thomas Jefferson says, it says the strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against the tyranny of government. Not cool, not cool, not cool. The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Well, our patriots are sure shedding their blood overseas for a free country, and yet what freedoms do we have here in this country? We are the biggest propaganda mongrels I've ever seen. We tell everybody how great we are, and yet we have just as many people homeless, out of jobs, as any other country in the world. You know, well, I don't want to say that. Let me finish this. To compel a man to subsidize with his taxes the propaganda of ideas which he disbelieves is sinful and tyrannical. Tyrannical. You know what that means. That means that we should not have to pay with our taxes something we don't believe in. And that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're not voted on anything. Where the hell did they get away with taxing our kids and our grandchildren for something we didn't even get to vote on? Why? What happened to the real freedom of this country? Why do we get to vote on it? I mean, I'm just really curious. Why don't we get to vote on it? Okay. And last but not least, it says, or he says, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all property until the children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Now, what do you think of that? Anyway, so that was that, right? I mean, I just can't believe that Thomas Jefferson, back in 1802, had that. But this last one really bothers me a lot. He says, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around the banks will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Now, what in the world do you think about that? I mean, that is just really something, isn't it? Huh? Huh? All right. We're back. Listen, by the way, as I was telling you, if you all want to take a vacation, come to Florida. Don't forget to check out FloridaFun2009.com on the Internet. That's FloridaFun2009.com on the Internet. You know, Disney, oh, by the way, I got to tell you something funny. No, it's not funny. It's really not funny. But I'm not a big fan of Disney, by the way, just so you know, and I live down here where the mouse lives. I mean, where Disney is. And I'll tell you one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of Disney's is because they abuse children. And the way they abuse children is they cater to the children, and they make the children play on mom and dad, and they put mom and dad into a situation to where they feel compelled to bring their children to Disney World. So they target children with all their hoopla and fanfare and all, and then let the children do the work to get the mom and dad to spend the money to come to Disney World. Now, if you ever have any doubts about how expensive Disney World is and how greedy it is, let me tell you something. They charge you $12 to park your car. They charge you, I think ticket prices now are probably around 80-some dollars a piece for adults, probably 50-some for children. But what's really amazing about all of this is that if you go to Disney World by cab, by taxi cab, they charge you $12 to go through the gate of to get into the parking lot. Now, let's get real here, people. If I'm taking a cab to go to Disney World, I'm not going to park the cab in there and let the meter run for the 4 or 5 or 6 hours I'm in Disney World. So obviously the cab driver is going to drop me off and he's going to leave. But they charge $12 for that cab to go on their property to drop me off so I can go spend how many hundreds of dollars in their theme parks. Now, you don't think that's a little greedy right there? I sure do. But that's Disney, and that's the way it is nowadays. It's all about the money. Don't we all know that's true, right? That's for sure. Well, they can boo all they want, but it's true. It is all about the money, and we all know that. Anyway, let's see. What are we going to do here? It's getting a little bit late. I wasn't planning on being on this late. I'm trying to get it up to, they give me an hour here to bore you people. And last week, I took almost all the hour, and I'm getting close. I got a lot of stuff to tell you guys, too. I mean, I got a lot of things to say. So I guess we'll leave that for another time. By the way, let me bring up to you one more time that I'm going to get a glass of water for next time. Sorry about that. Let me bring up one more time all the dumb stuff that's going on. I mean, well, I don't have to bring it up. Pick up your paper, okay? Pick up your own local newspaper. Mine, the headline said $838 billion. What's in it for Florida? I don't know, nothing. I'm not concerned what's in it for me because I really firmly do believe, and I'm not saying this, I mean, I really believe this. If they was to give me and you $250,000, what would we do? Okay? Tell you what we'd do. The people that are against that say we'd go waste the money. Okay, let's think about that a minute. Where would we waste the money? Would we go out and buy new cars? That means the big car companies, car manufacturers would get the money, right? Would we go out and buy new cars? That means car dealerships would get the money. Or maybe we'd go out and we'd buy, I don't know, maybe we'd go buy diamonds for our girlfriend. We'd go buy gold. Maybe we might even pay off our houses. That would help the mortgage industry. That would help the banks. Maybe we'd pay off our credit cards. That would help the banks. Maybe we'd just go out and buy new clothes. That would help manufacturing. I mean, what is the big problem here with giving us the money? We probably know how to spend it a lot better than government does. Because let's face it, if government and big business knew how to spend the money, we would not be in the shape we're in today. Now, can anybody disagree with that one? I'll bet you can you? Of course you can't, because you know it's true. Anyway, that's Bob's opinion. I want you to go visit my website, bobanddeberry.com. Post comments up there. Go log in to the blog. You can post information on my blog. Please pass around my show. Tell your friends. Well, if you want to keep them your friends, maybe you better not. Anyway, now tell your friends that I'm on every other Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And it's just a let's get it all out and get it over with. I told you about one company tonight, which was First Data, and how they, as lenders and financial institutions, how they are not doing what they should be doing, and in fact, what they are doing the exact opposite of what the government says they intend for them to do. And you notice I did said says they intend for them to do it, because if they really intended them to do it, why don't they make them do it? You know, I mean, It's like me giving somebody $100 and say, well, here, I want you to go out and buy yourself some new clothes. But if I don't make them go buy new clothes, then, you know, I just gave them $100 for nothing. I mean, I can't make them do it unless I make them do it. So that's what the government's doing. They're handing out money. By the way, if anybody knows where a bailout office is here in Central Florida, please call me. Let me know. I want to go down there and see what if I can get my $1 billion for some bailout. I mean, I got bills. I need bailout money, but I can't seem to find it. Anyway, that being said, I want to remind you again about timeshare as always. Go on their website, FloridaFund2009.com and AstoriaFinancialSolutions.com. All three are based on the Internet. You can get the phone numbers from all three right there on their website. And I'm sure they would appreciate you giving them a call because they appreciate me telling you about them and what they have. I guess I did pretty good tonight. Did 45 minutes. Didn't get anybody calling in again tonight. It's a shame. I wish we did. But I guess what we're going to have to do is, you know, we're going to have to end this for tonight. And I will be back, 2 weeks from tonight, which... Let me look at my super-duper calendar here, which will be the 25th, right? February 25th. So I look forward to having you all listen, and hopefully you'll call in and give me some of your opinions. And until then, let me say this.
You've got the brain of a...
We done.